Our devotional and background study today comes from the 5th chapter of Ezra, and that'll be verses 6 through 17. The copy of the letter that Tanai, governor on this side of the river, and Shurbanaza and his companions, the Arphaxites, which were on this side of the river, sent unto Darius the king. They sent a letter unto him, wherein was written thus, unto Darius the king, all peace. Be it known unto the king that we went into the province of Judea to the house of the great God, which is builded with great stones, and timber is laid in the walls, and this work goeth fast on, and prospereth in their hands. Then asked we those elders, and said unto them thus, Who commanded you to build this house, and to make up these walls? We asked their names also, to certify thee, that we might write the names of the men that were the chief of them. And thus they returned us answer, saying, We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and build the house that was builded these many years ago, which a great king of Israel builded and set up. But after that our fathers had provoked the God of heaven into wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried the people away into Babylon. But in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus made a decree to build this house of God. And the vessels also of gold and silver of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that was in Jerusalem, and brought them into the temple of Babylon. Those did Cyrus the king take out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered unto one whose name was Sheshbazzar, whom he had made governor, and said unto him, Take these vessels, go, carry them into the temple that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be builded in his place. Then came the same Sheshbazzar, and laid the foundation of the house of God which is in Jerusalem. And since that time, even until now, hath it been in building, and yet it is not finished. Now therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so that a decree was made of Cyrus the king to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send his pleasure to us concerning the matter. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, at this time, please.
Studying from the book of Haggai. And it's kind of difficult. This is such a small book in the chapter. It's kind of difficult, like Terry was talking last week, it's kind of hard not to jump over into another part because this doesn't have a couple of chapters to begin with. And we found out last week that the people that were in charge of coming back to Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple and the city itself had not been doing what God had wanted them, had not been doing what he wanted them to do. And I'm going to start reading in the 7th verse. And it says, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, Terry read that same statement last week when he was reading his lesson, because just in a few verses prior to that, God had made the same statement, consider your ways. Now, there is a place in Lamentations, in the 3rd chapter, in the 40th verse, where the people said, let us search and try our ways. In other words, let us search and examine ourselves and turn again to the Lord, which is essentially the same thing that this question begs, consider your way, or the statement begs, consider your ways. Let us search and examine ourselves and then turn again to the Lord. Now, if you've got to ask that question, I'm going to have to say that you know you're not doing what God wants you to do to begin with. If you're doing what God wants you to do, then you don't have to question your ways, the things that you're doing. So when God told Haggai to tell the people to consider your ways, he was asking them to think about what it was they were doing, what their failings were. And as in Lamentations, he was wanting them to come to the determination to turn back to him. That was what his whole premise was, to get his people to turn back to him. So he said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Now let me stop here again. These people had started, they had come from captivity back to Jerusalem for one purpose, and that was to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the city, to rebuild the temple. And they started doing that, and got the altar built, and they were conducting the business of the temple there. They were having sacrifices, but they never built the building itself, and they didn't do anything much to Jerusalem. It's still, the walls and the gates were still wrecked and burned, and they quit doing things to rebuild the temple and concentrated on rebuilding their own lives. And in doing that, they had gotten comfortable. They had become complacent, and they become lazy and totally satisfied with what they were doing. But after about 10 years of this, 12 years of this, God got pretty tired of it. And you know, this same lesson can carry over to today, and that we as God's people can become complacent and lazy and satisfied with what we've got. And I'm not sure, I say we can do that, but I'm really not so sure that we're not doing that. That we're not complacent and lazy and satisfied with what we have. And in doing that, we are encouraging God. And I say encouraging him because I believe he has a desire for us to do his will and to carry out his work. But we in turn can encourage him to bring wrath and destruction upon us because of our failure to do what he would have us to do. And this is what was happening here. These people were failing to present their best to God. And you know, you go on to, well, let me read the ninth verse. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. Now, I want you to listen. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. I blew it away. I mean, they were just concerned with gathering for themselves whatever it was that they thought that they needed. And it said they looked for a lot, but it came to little. And when they got it, they accumulated it and they got it. And God said, I blew it all away. You didn't have anything. You know, God is still that powerful today. He can take it all away. Today, you, those poor people, I was watching last night, those poor people up in New York and New Jersey have lost everything. There's people up there that have lost everything. They showed the township last night, Tom's River, New Jersey, and I was there one time on a business trip, and it is a beautiful, it was a beautiful seaside resort there in New Jersey, and it's gone. I mean, last night they showed, and it's gone. You see how quickly something can be gone? God is still God. He's still in charge. And He still can take what we have accumulated and what we enjoy in this life, what we think is sufficient for us, He can take it away in the blink of an eye. And that's what He was doing with these people. He said, you look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Says the Lord. Oh, why did I do this? He said, because of my house that is in ruin, or my house that is in waste. In other words, my house is in ruin. And you want to know why? I'm taking everything away from you because you have forsaken what you were supposed to do for me. Listen, this is a good lesson for us today. A good lesson for us today, because I know I have failed God many times. And I have this chance this morning I got to thank Him for what He has given me. For what He has given me, because it can be taken away like that. Like these people. It says, therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew. And the earth is stayed from her fruit. In other words, whatever they've planted is not grown. He's not let it accumulate. And it says, and I call for drought upon the land, upon the mountains, and upon the corn or grain, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, or livestock, and upon all the labor of hands. You know, you think back to this summer. Well, and I'm assuming that there's still drought across this land. I don't know that the rains have came yet or not to help the Midwest in this predicament, but you don't have drought out here in Tennessee. When we went to the market this year to buy vegetables and things to put up for the winter, we got some things and found out they were from East Tennessee. Some things were down on the Tennessee-Alabama line. And I thought about this. I thought what we got looked really good because it was outside the drought area. The drought didn't go as far as East Tennessee. It didn't go down as far as the Tennessee-Alabama line. It was here in Middle Tennessee and West Tennessee especially. And anything you got from West Tennessee or Middle Tennessee, the corn crop was hardly anything. The apples were we like to get apples sometime out of breeze. We heard that they were closed up after just a week or so because they didn't have any fruit. Well, right here it says, I call for a drought. This is God. This wasn't a guy called for a drought. This was God called for a drought. And He's already told them why. They have this drought because they left His house in ruin. And He called for a drought upon the land. And now they work and they try and gain stuff and it's taken away from them and they don't have anything. If they're not satisfied, they still want more. And they're trying to do this and the drought is there and they're not getting anywhere and they're not making any advancements. They keep going backwards and these people are shocked. That they don't have anything after all this work that they're doing. This is another example of God's love, patience, and long suffering toward His people. Because this is just another example of His people failing and doing what it is that He has for them to do. And each one of us is going to say today, He has something for each one of us. I don't know what it is for you. I barely But he has something for each one of us to do, and he wants us to do it. Then, this is in the 12th verse, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Listen to this. Can you imagine the God that we serve? These people have failed God time after time after time again. But he says here, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get up in the woods. I want you to start cutting down trees. I want you to start human style. I want you to do whatever you have to start rebuilding. And he says, I'm with you, saith the Lord. I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts their God in the 24th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of Darius the king. So we find that if we, as God's people, expect God to continue blessing us. And listen, I think God wants to bless us. I really do. I think God wants to bless us. I think he gets enjoyment. I really do. Out of blessing his people. If we want to continue God blessing us, we have to understand it all depends on our obedience to God. That's what it depends upon. Or we're going to wind up being like these people and just spinning our wheels trying to get through this world, wanting things that when we attain, we're not satisfied with, wanting more things that when we attain, we're still not satisfied with, wanting things and it being taken away from us. You see, our first love in this life should be our love of God and our love of maintaining our relationship that we have with God. When we were saved, whenever that might be, wherever that might have been, when we were saved, we established a relationship with God. And God today looks down upon us, not necessarily as a people, although he does, but he looks upon us individually. I have a personal relationship with God. I have a relationship outside of the relationship I have with this church, with this gathering. I have this personal relationship with God. And because he knows me personally, I believe with all my heart he wants me to do good. He wants me to have things. He wants us to be happy. And we as God's people, of all people, have more reason to be happier than anybody in this world. If not, look for one thing. And that is that he saved our souls. Now, if we don't have it, if we live out of a tent, or we sleep under a tree, if we've got salvation, we've got it all. And so, And do we appreciate what God has given us? Do we really appreciate what God has done for us? Do we look about us and awe and see what God's mercy, his long-suffering ways, have given us in this life? Stop and take notice of that. These people helped and structured and set up through the mercies of God's own hand being placed upon the men who helped and women who helped create this great nation that we have. All the things that were done by the men and women that went through heartache and tears, trials and tribulations to establish this nation of freedom, the likes of which have never been seen in the world since the beginning of time. And yet, I don't know how closely God is monitoring our situation at this time as a nation. There is a chance that this nation could go as wrong did, as the greatest empires of the world have gone. This nation is on the same course. I mean, you just think of the great empires that no longer exist. You think of the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire, and you think of those two empires as encompassing half of the known world at their peak. And you look at the United States and the strength that the United States has had and still has today, but I'm afraid that we're losing sight of that as God's people, that we've become complacent. We're like these people here. I said that they've become complacent and lazy. And I believe, honestly and truly, that's what we as God's people are becoming, complacent and lazy. We're complacent with the way things are going. And we become lazy because we don't want to change it. We like it the way it is. And, you know, that's what these people have become. Exactly what these people have become. And, you know, it wouldn't take a whole lot for God's anger to be poured out on this nation. It would not be a whole lot for it to be poured out upon the United States. You look at the turmoil that is going around this nation, the droughts that we're having, the hurricanes and storms that we're having. And you might say, well, you know, that's just a natural phenomenon. Well, no, it's not. Well, I mean, yes, it is. It is from nature. But God is the author of it all. He's the one that is in control. And he's the one that can stay the storms, that can stay the hurricanes and the droughts. And he's the one that can bring prosperity back to a nation who seems to have lost its way. And the reason it's lost its way is because his people have failed to do what it is they need to be doing. They've become lazy and complacent. And so, I said this a few weeks ago. People may not believe this at all, and I'm sure that the majority of the people in this country do not believe this. But I believe with all my heart that the reason this nation has been able to do what it's been able to do is because of God's people. Not because of all the people that are in this country, because a lot of people claim to be God's people, but I'm talking about God's people. I'm not talking about people who lay claim to being God's people. I'm not talking about people who claim to be Christians. I'm talking about where Paul said he called us Christians. I'm talking about that kind of people. God's people. This is the remnant of the people that are holding this nation together. This may be even the remnant that's holding this world together, that's keeping it from the last trumpet sounding and it to come to a complete end. It's because of God's people. And when we fail God, we can expect the worst to come about. Because we are his people. And he wants us to do good. And he wants to bless us. And he wants not anything shame. Have a lot of money. You read the Bible. You read the Bible about all the rich men that are in the Bible. They sought the kings. They all had wealth. And they all, for the most part, followed God. So it's not the wealth. But you look what he's given us. The wealth that we do have. You know, I like good stuff. I like to have money. I like to eat. Oh boy, do I like to eat. But, my thought process on that is that God wants us to have this. I believe it. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that if you believe in God, you're going to be rich. I'm not trying to tell you that. But I think that God wants us to have enjoyment in this life, to have things in this life that will make us happy. And yet, sometimes we sit around and want more. And we want more until it consumes us. You see, there's a fine line to us having what we got and being happy with it. And then having what we got and want more until it consumes us. And I know people that have grown up in our churches that wanted, all they wanted was more. I just want you to know that God wants us to be happy. But when we fail God, there comes a point when he says enough is enough. And when that point comes, you better watch it. Because there's things that can happen and people might not even think it's of God. But I'm telling you, he's in charge of everything. And he told these people, he told them, I want you to go out here and start rebuilding. I want you to start rebuilding this temple. And he didn't even really make a threat. But I think just the knowledge that that's what God would want brought them out of their reverie, their laziness, and put them on a course to serving God. And you know, I hope that's all God does for us, is kind of wake us up. Because you know what he can do? You know what happened to these people? You know where they came from? These people that were in Jerusalem came from the Babylonian captivity. God has said, you're not following my ways, and you're going into captivity, and there you go. They went into captivity. That's where these people came from. They pleaded with Darius to let them go back to Jerusalem. And he said, I'll let you go back. And he let them go back. But they had been in captivity. 75 years or so. It wasn't near as long as 400 years that the Israelites were in Egypt. 400 years, same thing. He put them in captivity. 400 years is nothing to God. He put those people in captivity for 400 years. They had no clue of the beginnings of their people. Other than hearsay, they were so far away from. You think about us, 400 years, I've gone through this before, 400 years ago, our nation, where was our nation? We don't have a connection back 400 years. He could put us into captivity until the world comes. God has us in his hands, and it behooves us to be responsible and see what our responsibilities are and make sure that we all are doing what God has passed. But it comes down to individuals. It really does. You know, I'd like to make sure that our whole group is doing what God wants us to. But I'd also like the assurance to know that we're all individually striving to do what God would have me to do, or what he would have Sonny to do, or what he would have Jimmy to do, or what he would have Sandy to do. Whatever he has for us to do, no matter how difficult, no matter how we look at it, whatever he has for us to do, we need to be doing. Because he's still the same God that sent Haggai to tell these people, look, you're one I sent this direct. You're one pray that God is with us this morning. I pray that it just does my heart good to see God's Spirit working amongst His people. It just brings a joy to my heart. And I'm sure it brings a joy to your heart, too, because it lets us know that there's something, and I'm not bragging here, but there's something we're doing right when we can feel the Spirit of God working amongst His people. I mean, we're doing something right. And so that's a good feeling. So let's continue to try and obtain that. You know, let's don't be complacent and grow lazy. Let's work to obtain what it is that God has to. That's my lesson. Anybody have anything they want to say?
I was thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. They were in captivity of Babylon about this time too.
Yeah.
And he was brought in.
Yeah. Anyone else? Not just our churches. Our churches were packed, standing alone. But all the churches were packed. That's kind of frightening. That it takes a war to bring people back to God. That's really sad that it takes that. But you know, that could happen to me.
Ashamed of myself when I think about that, because my work is not near what it should be. You know, I mean, it's just,
Christians were being slaughtered by the thousands. And now, for the most part, we have relatively easy ways that we can worship, even not just in America, but in Africa and different places like that. Of course, there's some hostility toward them. There's hostility toward us here. But still, Satan has these shackles on him that we're not being mass slaughtered at this point in time. But it can come. And the Bible says that he will be released. That before the end comes, he will be released. And when that happens, you can see us go back to the dark ages.
For a little season.
For a little season.
And I believe that season is we're facing towards this past week.
I believe we are too.
And I believe that God has just about come to turn his back on America. I believe America has gone down so much in the last 20, 25, 30, 35 years. The last 100 years, as far as that goes, we've gotten further and further. And all the stuff that's going around in the news today, what they're doing in all these other states, the laws they're passing to do whatever they can to be against God. And I think we've already passed right at the point, and I think we just passed the point of overturn.
Well, we need to pray for God's long-suffering ways. And hope that he continues to have mercy upon us. Because there's still a lot of people that needs to be saved out here. There's a lot of people that needs to hear this message. Anyone else? If not, Jimmy, would you dismiss us?